Our second case this morning is United States against Scott. It's 15 minutes per side. Counsel for the defense.
Chief Judge Efron, honorable members of the court, good morning. My name is Captain Anthony Ortiz, and together with Lieutenant Colonel Mark Strickland, we represent the appellant in this case, Senior Airman Manuela Scott. In this case, the issue is Airman Scott entitled to a new post-trial processing given the recommendations in the addendum, which were tantamount to improper advice to defer to the sentencing authority, erroneous statements, and improper bolstering of the status of officer members. At trial, defense presented 18 character letters, 28 other exhibits, and two sentencing witnesses on behalf of the appellant. Defense's main theme was her outstanding duty performance.
Can you just be, what precisely is the new matter in the addendum? You quoted?
Yes, Your Honor.
Or cited?
There are several, actually. And these are contained on page 18 and 19 of the Joint Appendix in 3A, where the addendum states that the wingman argument was already presented to the members. 3B, almost the entire paragraph. 3C, where the addendum states that the sentence was adjudged by a panel of officer members who personally heard all the evidence and determined that the sentence was appropriate.
Now, do you think that was news to the convening authority since he had completed the convening authority, the convening order that put those members on the court-martial?
Well, that was not new information per se, but the way that it was presented to the convening authority was as a reason to not grant clemency in this case.
No, but how is it new matter?
Your Honor, even neutral matters can be considered misleading, erroneous, or
How is it new?
That it has a message to defer to the convening authority, the sentencing authority, and ignore his obligation under Article 60 to present a fresh and independent view.
That's a different argument than that it's new matter.
Well, Your Honor, I would respectfully disagree that even neutral matters, the way they are presented, could be considered tantamount to a new matter, given especially in the way that it was presented in this case.
Is it new matter to say we think this case was properly decided and you should affirm the findings and sentence?
No, Your Honor, but our position is an improper matter to suggest to the convening authority to defer to the members in regards to arguments and in regards to the sentence and not provide it.
And where did they do that here?
Your Honor, it's the common theme throughout the addendum. 3A states that the members already considered the wingman argument, which does not explicitly say defer to it, but that is the implication. 3B states that the members already considered.
It's simply a factual statement that this was presented at trial. Is stating the convening authority that this argument was made at trial new matter?
No, Your Honor, but if it's given as a reason to deny clemency or not to consider it, it is a new matter, or it is a neutral matter that is placed before the convening authority in a misleading way.
Well, I mean, he's basically, the staff judge advocate review here is basically setting forth what the defense's arguments are, right?
With yes,
asking for clemency.
And making the ultimate recommendation that they deny it because the members already heard it. That is the implication throughout the addendum.
So you don't think that the convening authority should know that the arguments that are being made for clemency were ones that were presented to the members?
Absolutely. The government is free to let the convening authority know about this, but they should, if done in this manner, serve it upon the defense. And this court directly states that in footnote 4 of Bueller, that the risk of appellate litigation is so great and the minimum burden on the government to serve it on the defense that it should be served upon the defense.
But this goes back to the question of how is this new matter so that it's required to be served under the defense under 11067?
Well, Your Honor, again, that the message to the court, to the court members, is a new matter, at least the way it was presented in this case, that it is absolutely misleading, that the only reason given within the entirety of the addendum to not grant clemency was because the court members had already heard both the sentence and the arguments presented before the convening authority. And our reliance upon this is both Catalani and Gilbert.
Okay, well, let's move on to your claim of prejudice. What's the prejudice?
Well, the prejudice in this case is that the defense was robbed of the opportunity to respond to these. There are several arguments that they could have made.
Okay, could they have made the argument that this information was not presented to the members?
Yes, Your Honor.
How?
The statement in this case was that all the evidence, in both 3C and paragraph 4, that all the evidence was heard in this case, which can possibly be interpreted as an erroneous argument. In this case, there are 7 new character letters presented, an article written specifically about Ehrman Scott's court-martial, an email from Jimmy Ford's attorney stating that he was not charged with any drug charges and was not sentenced yet, and various other character letters which were not presented before the sentencing authority.
Counsel, let's assume that the convening authority would understand that when the SJA said the wingman concept, although not necessarily phrased, was before the members, and then in the next sentence, paragraph says, the comparative sentencing analysis is based on subsequent court-martial sentencing, that the convening authority would understand that there were matters subsequent to trial that are now before him. What is your argument as to what the defense would have said had they had an opportunity to respond beyond pointing out the fact that there's the clemency material has post-trial activity referenced in it?
Well, you know, our arguments, or possible arguments the defense could have made, are pulled directly out of both Catalani and Gilbert. Catalani, in relation to deference to the court members, the appellant would have had the opportunity to focus the convening authority's attention on differences between the responsibility of the sentencing authority and the convening authority, as well as the different types of information that can be considered. Also, similarly, in Gilbert, that the trial defense counsel could have made a persuasive argument that the convening authority deferred to the judgment of the court members was a legally improper argument. And if the term all the evidence is interpreted to mean that all the matters in this case were considered, and this is taken out of Catalani, appellant could have corrected the SJA's erroneous description and misleading implication that flowed from it. In this case, all of the evidence could have meant all of the matters considered, including clemency, which is simply not true, as we stated before. New information was presented. Jimmy Ford's sentence and crimes were not presented at trial, but they were presented during clemency. The risk of...
Counsel, my question, and I understand your argument, was focused solely on the assumption that the convening authority would understand that all the matters that were submitted after trial were not considered by the members. So my question was simply, what would the defense have said to counter any other implication regarding the SJA's addendum? And you have identified 2.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Those are essentially our arguments of possible arguments that could have been made.
Thank you.
When you're not suggesting that the convening authority didn't get the clemency request from the appellant, are you?
No, Your Honor.
And all these arguments about comparative sentencing and the wingman concept, et cetera, were all made in the clemency request?
Yes, Your Honor.
So we could assume that the convening authority had all that information before him in addition to the SJA?
Yes, Your Honor. However, the interpretation, especially the implication that he ignored his duties under Article 60 to give a fresh and independent review, is strongly pervasive throughout the addendum. In fact, there are, in every paragraph, 3A, 3B, 3C, and 3, and paragraph 4, the addendum suggests that the convening authority defer to the decisions of the court members. It's most telling in paragraph 4, in the 3 sentences preceding the recommendation that the convening authority deny the appellant's request for clemency, the addendum specifically states, number 1, that the members heard all the evidence, number 2, that Senator Emma Scott personally spoke to the panel, and number three, reiterated the fact again that the members heard all the evidence. And the message...
How is that new matter? They heard all the evidence. One would presume that that's a tautology. If the evidence was presented, they heard all the evidence, unless they were asleep.
Yes, Ryan, but the message is clear that the appellant had her shot before the members. The members heard this. A judge, a lawful sentence, therefore defer to the...
He doesn't say that. He says, based upon the severity of her crimes and the above comments, I recommend you approve the findings in the sentence.
Yes, Your Honor.
Go ahead.
Unless there are any further questions, I will briefly sum. Court No. 4 Abela warns of the dangers of public litigation and the relatively easy fix of merely serving the indicted on defense counsel. And there is absolutely no reason in this case why the government could not have done that. The essence of serving new matters, or misleading matters, as in this case, is fair play, as it states in Mueller. And this simply was not fair play. The only reason given throughout the addendum was that members heard this and they already considered all the evidence. To put it in perspective, in Camilleri and Gilbert, the sentences at question were basically one to two sentences in length. In this case, where the addendum directly states that all the evidence was heard or implies that deference to members should be given, ranges from five sentences. And that's not even mentioning the sentences that support this. And this simply is not fair in this case. As such, we requested this honorable court grant a new post-trial processing. Thank you.
May it please the court, I am Captain Nicole Richard, and together with Colonel Gerald Bruce, we represent the United States. The two key questions for this honorable court to consider are, one, did the addendum contain new matter, and two, has the appellant made a credible showing of possible prejudice from lack of service of the addendum? The answer to both questions is no. The addendum did not contain new matter. RCM 1106 F7 does not define the term new matter, and case law does not necessarily suggest a comprehensive definition, but we do have examples of what constitutes new matter, including discussion of new case law, matter from outside the record of trial, and issues not previously discussed. The discussion to the RCM states that new matter does not ordinarily include any discussion on the correctness of the initial defense comments on the recommendation. Appellant claims on page 10 of her brief that the following comments in the addendum constitute new matter: that the members had already considered appellant's sentence, that they had the benefit of personally hearing all the evidence in the case, and that they determined the sentence was appropriate. This is a mere recitation of factually correct trial events. But from there, appellant wants to leap to the conclusion that those comments really meant that the convening authority should defer to the court members, that the court members considered all extenuation mitigation matters, and that those matters were the same as those put forth to the convening authority. But that leap is not supported in fact or law.
I think the defense argument was offered in the alternative. One was that all three of those problems were there, and alternatively, that it was sufficient if the convening authority was left with the impression that the convening authority could defer to the members irrespective of the subsequent submissions, as opposed to they were that necessarily arguing that the subsequent submissions were the same as what was submitted at trial. So if the convening authority had been advised by the SJA that the convening authority could defer to the members irrespective of the subsequent submissions, what would the situation be before us now?
For these facts and circumstances, it would not change the results, because specifically the comments that appellant points to directly respond to appellant's submissions, the defense counsel memorandum as well as appellant's memorandum, where they attack the appropriateness of the court member's sentencing. And so from there, the addendum appropriately points to the fact that They did hear all evidence in the case, which is very different from saying that they heard all matters as a Gilbreth type of situation.
I think my question may not have been clear. If the SJA had said, here are all the things that the defense has submitted post-trial, but you don't need to pay any attention to that because the members heard the important evidence in the case and they found the individual guilty and judged appropriate sentence, so don't pay any attention to the balance. And would that be permissible?
If the staff judge advocate said, don't pay attention to these clemency matters, that would not be permissible, Your Honor.
And what if that's a reasonable implication of what the SJA has said?
It would depend on the facts and circumstances of that case. And in the facts and circumstances of this case, we know that the convening authority is seasoned a convening authority. In the very first paragraph of the defense counsel's submission, he points to the wealth of experience that this convening authority had at the special court martial and GCM levels. And he stated, in fact, quote, I know your time as a convening authority at both the special court martial and GCM levels, you must have seen hundreds of clemency packages. It is my hope that you will pay special attention to this one, end quote. And so you would have to look at the facts of how much of the statement said, do not review these matters and defer to the sentencing authority. We don't have that in this situation, Your Honor.
How is this case different from Catalani?
This case is very different from Catalani. In Catalani, the comment there was, quote, all of the matters submitted for your consideration in extenuation litigation were offered by the defense at trial, and the senior-most military judge in the Pacific imposed a sentence that, in my opinion, was both fair and proportionate to the offense committed. There was an erroneous and misleading comment. Here, the facts are distinguishable because there is no reference to the stature of the court members. For instance, we don't have a comment that very seasoned military officers of particular intelligence or military experience or judicial training were used. All we have is a comment that the court members heard all the evidence. As well, we don't have anything that is erroneous. These are factually correct comments from within the record of trial, and they directly respond to appellant's attack of the appropriateness of the sentencing authority's decisions.
And does it matter that the staff judge advocate said by law you must consider these matters before taking final action, referring to the matters submitted in clemency?
Absolutely, Your Honor. There's several instances where the roles and responsibilities of the convening authority are highlighted for the convening authority. So, again, there's no risk here that the convening authority would have been confused as to what his roles and responsibilities were. As you pointed out, Your Honor, in the addendum, it highlights the convening authority's role. In the very first sentence, the addendum states, pursuant to Article 60, this is your job. By law, you must consider these matters. As well, I'd like to point your attention particularly to paragraphs 7, 11, and 15 of the trial defense counsel's memorandum, when he also highlights the convening authority's roles and responsibilities pursuant to Article 60. For instance, he states, quote, your role is to ensure the sentence is just. That's in paragraph 11. In paragraph 15, he continues, quote, you have an opportunity to temper this court's justice with mercy, to tailor your approved sentence on the basis of Scott, taking into account the unique facts and circumstances in her case, end quote. So clearly here there was no confusion as to what the roles and responsibilities were of the convening authority, and that there would go to the prejudice prong Nevertheless, it's not new matter. The government's position is that it's not new matter. Even if you assume that it was new matter, the appellant hasn't met her burden of showing the requisite prejudice.
Counsel, how do you respond to the holding in Gilbreth, where the court said that, in our opinion, the logical import of the staff judge advocate's words was that the members of the appellant's court-martial had already considered the clemency matters submitted by the defense and found them unpersuasive, and the commander should defer to their decision? Now, did this court go too far there, or do you agree with that general statement?
Yeah, I think that Gilbreth is distinguishable on two parts. First, there was an erroneous statement in that the addendum incorrectly stated that the appellant was tried by a jury when, in fact, he was tried by a judge. And second, that the language of that particular addendum, which constantly, repeatedly referred to matters and blurred the distinction between evidence at trial versus matters before the convening authority, the addendum in Gilbreth referred to both as these matters, and that there the import was that the matters before the convening authority were also the same exact matters as those considered by the sentencing authority. So there, the import was that the sentencing authority had already heard the clemency matters and rejected them for the appellant. Here we do not have that, that the court members heard evidence is very different than hearing all matters set forth before the convening authority for a separate purpose.
But here, I think the appellant is arguing that given the wording that was in the addendum, the convening authority could have been led to understand that all of the matters that he was looking at in the clemency package had been considered by the members.
Right, and I would suggest, Your Honor, that interpretation is not reasonable because of the distinction between calling it evidence presented at trial, as well as the fact that you can tell that the a lot of the clemency matters were dated after the trial. The defense submissions, as well as the addendum, pointed to clemency matters submitted after trial. For instance, the material from Jimmy Ford, the civilian who was processed after appellant.
And the government, I just want to make clear that the government is happy with the, you can live with this general holding that we have in Gilbreth.
Yes, Your Honor, because of the language that was used there, which is different than what was used in this case.
And what import, if any, should we take to the fact that the CCA found that the sentence was inappropriately severe and reduced it, which was exactly part of the relief that was requested before the convening authority that he ignored?
But, Your Honor, I think what we can take from the Air Force Court's holding is they were exercising their discretionary powers, and they did reduce the confinement by 1 year. And so we can't necessarily speculate as to why that may be, but we know what it wasn't. We know that it wasn't based on any matter, as specifically stated in the opinion, and we know that it wasn't based on a comparative sentencing analysis because the Air Force Court found that was not applicable here.
So the Air Force Court was basically looking at what the convening authority was looking at?
Yes, Your Honor, and reasonable minds may differ on that point. And that's why the convening authority, that's another process for the appellant, but just because the Air Force Court ended up taking a year off does not mean that the convening authority abuses discretion or acted inappropriately in the clemency materials proceeding.
Thank you.
Counsel, if the SDR did not inform the convening authority that these arguments that were raised in clemency with respect to the sentence had been presented to the members, would that mislead the convening authority, do you think?
Well, I think it certainly could mislead the convening authority, and the fact that the addendum points to specific parts of the record of trials to appellant's benefit, because it facilitates the convening authority to go back through the materials and take that independent look that clemency is provided for. So that is certainly to the benefit of appellant that they are citing other areas to facilitate the convening authority's further review.
Counsel, and this is not a request that you testify, when is the first time at which the defense would have access to the addendum? In the process of actually preparing the record and forwarding it, when's the first time the defense is going to have a look at this?
My understanding is that it'll be after action.
After action. Is that in the field?
I'm sorry, Ron?
Is that in the field or when it comes up on appellate review?
In the field, I believe, Your Honor.
Okay.
Appellant also cites to U.S. v. Bullard for the proposition that even neutral information that is erroneous, inadequate, or misleading could be considered prejudicial. However, if you look at this case in U.S. v. Barr, it states that routine and direct consequences, comments on routine and direct consequences of court-martial, in that case, is not prejudicial. And that's exactly what we have here. Simply put, the comments that appellant points to show that the members were present at trial and did their job. And it is not no matter. It is not prejudicial to appellant. The focus for RCM 1106F7 is fair play. The essence is fair play. And certainly, because these comments were factually correct, because they were contained within the record of trial, and because they were directly responding to appellant's comments attacking the appropriateness of the court members during their sentencing proceedings, it is not new matter. And so, only if you have new matter should you require service on the appellant, because you do not want to go through an endless succession of defense challenges and statute advocate responses that could hamper the rights of the appellant for speedy processing. If there are no further questions.
Thank you, counsel.
May I conclude? The addendum does not contain new matter because the comments appellants points to are mere recitations of factually correct trial events that are accurate within the record of trial and directly respond to the defense's initial comments that attack the court members' appropriateness when fashioning an appropriate sentence for the appellant. Even assuming the addendum contained new matter, which it did not, appellant has not met her burden of showing prejudice, particularly in paragraph 7, 11, 15 of the defense submissions, already highlighted the convening authority's role and responsibilities in clemency pursuant to Article 60, and appellant would have merely repeated information already submitted to this experienced convening authority. Therefore, the United States respectfully requests this honorable court to affirm the Air Force Court of Criminal Appeals holding and deny appellant's request for a new recommendation and convening authority action. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the defense have rebuttal?
Your Honor, there is a distinction between stating neutral facts in response to defense assertions and making arguments that can reasonably or most likely be misinterpreted. We're not trying to attempt to dictate what the government can or cannot put in an addendum. We're merely asking that they exercise their discretion and serve it upon the defense. In Gilbert, the entire first paragraph of the addendum relates to the convening authority's obligation under Article 60 to provide an independent review. However, the one comment that the accused pled guilty to the charge of specification of her sentencing case and was heard before the jury was enough to get it set aside. In this case, the addendum stated that the sentence was adjudged by a panel of officer members who, after having the benefit of personally hearing all the evidence of it in her case, determined that 5 years of a confinement was appropriate given the circumstances, and also stated in paragraph 4, in their overall conclusion, in the end, the members themselves had an opportunity to hear all of the evidence presented in this case. This was simply not a neutral recitation of facts. It was an argument, and it was an argument that should have been served upon the defense. Again, we would emphasize footnote 4 of Bueller, the case law established in both Catalani and Gilbreth, and finding that the deference to the court members implied in this case, the potentially erroneous statements, and the bolstering of the officer members' status in regards to their sentence was improper. And we request this court grant an in post-trial processing. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank counsel for both parties for your presentation today. The case is submitted, and the court will stand in recess until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
The court stands in recess until 9 a.m. tomorrow.